Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America. This is Corporal Tim Thornton from the Military Exchange,
Civil War Radio, and Three Men and a Microphone.
Did you wake up today and say, I'm not living in the America that I grew up in? A 3% tax on tea eventually led to the American Revolution. Now you pay up to 70% of your earnings to a de facto corporate government. You are groped at the airport, surveilled on the street, spied upon in your own home, fed propaganda by the media, lied to by your representatives. Have your rights eroded, your currency devalued, and are we on the verge of an overt police state? Is this a WTF moment, and you're asking yourself, what happened to the home of the brave and the land of the free? Well, at the Military Exchange Talk Show, we address these issues and more. Current events, military topics, veteran right issues, and WTF moments.
Civil War Radio with Armin Marinetti.
When you hear the phrase, boots on the ground, that phrase means our men and women that are in the American Armed Forces, and that means they're ready to fight. They wear the very best gear America has to offer. I'm talking the very best in leather, Gore-Tex, Finsulate, three-layer Vibram soles, Nomex, side zippers, and stitching. Quality that the civilian market can't even come close to offering. When you say quality, you want U.S. government issue. Iron Mike's is the leading distributor for military government contractors. They offer jump boots, Mickey boots, jungle boots, SWAT boots, sniper boots, steel toe, Navy deck boots, and Marine Corps and Army desert boots. Corafram low quarter shoes, mucklucks, extreme cold weather, and lightweight tactical boots in 6, 8, and 10 inches. Iron Mike's takes trade-ins of all your old military boots. Iron Mike's is located at 2485 State Route 332 in Canandaigua. Check us out online at ironmikes.co.
Yes. And most of my students were special ed students. Going back to the phone. We're getting bits and pieces about this sad story from last week when the young man, the 14-year-old, young, not even a man yet, 14 right. years old, not even, when the young student left the school and jumped off the bridge in Rochester. Now, I have heard some reports, and again, I don't want to stick to this because things are changing as we speak. But he may have misplaced his phone, and that could have caused him to panic. So, going back to what we were talking about earlier, Tim, do not become too dependent on these electronic devices. When we were growing up, 14 years old, Mike, we're about the same age, right? Tim, yeah. We're about the same age. Yeah. The only phone we had was hanging on a wall in the kitchen.
That's right.
We didn't take phones to work, and we seemed to make it to our late 50s, early 60s somewhat okay.
We didn't take pictures of ourselves in the bathroom and take pictures of our food and our latest purchase and every trip, holding it up so our chins don't show because you look better up here. You know, I saw there's a video out there, like on Instagram or something.
Should we kill the phone?
And it shows. It shows a lot. It makes a lot of sense about how bad that has damaged our culture, because it's ego. Think of the
big part of it.
Where does ego fit in religion, Father Mike?
Hey, don't call me Father Mike.
People get the wrong perception.
You're a father, right? You have.
I am a father of children.
Yes. Well, so he's not technically he's accurate, but right.
But I already have people saying, "Oh, you were trained to be a minister." And you allow this on Facebook, you know, with various things that people say. And I'm like, well, yeah, I do, because people have freedom of speech. And so we have to honor that.
Yeah.
So, but I do get rid of the cuss words.
So. Yeah, there's no – we should be able to convey a thought verbally without using four-letter words that are just there for shock.
Yeah.
In awe.
You think.
Yeah.
You would think.
Yeah. Yeah, I catch myself too often stopping. And I used to have that, again, with students. A lot of times in the morning, things slip out. And I would just tell the students, come on. You have a brain that allows you to think. That word doesn't have to be used so often. Figure out a better word that can cover your...
Melissa's coffee.
Is your spoon standing up? You don't have a spoon.
More than my spoon standing up, sir.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to hear about that.
I don't want to know.
I know. You guys, we're in the gutter this morning.
All I said was talk about id.
He's talking about his id.
That's
what he calls it.
I don't care what you call
it. That's his superego.
Superego. Id.
So, I see you have more cups on that tree over there. Are they the clean ones?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I almost got to cleaning cups.
Would anybody else like a cup of coffee?
Could I please?
I'm going to pass. I've had a couple cups already this morning. And
what time do you get up?
A little bit before 6. Yeah.
I've been up all night.
Oh,
I was working.
If I didn't have it's to drive so 45 minutes, I could have such an easier morning. Let me see here. I want to test this. Test. Mike.
Yeah.
No, not you. This mic.
The real mic.
See, it sounds louder on the recording. I don't know if it sounds louder on the show.
Should I change into my green shirt?
Yes, you should.
I wore green by accident.
Off
no,
camera.
You did not.
I swear to God.
Can you hold this one more time then?
Oh my. Give it to Mike. Give it to Mike.
Give it to Mike.
Are you gonna doing it on camera, are you?
No. Why?
You're gonna get a shut down. What are we gonna do? Yeah. All right.
You're gonna change outside?
Yeah. Go. I'm not changing my shirt.
Oh, sorry.
Public display.
Oh, it's pretty cold out there. Say no more. Stop that, Armand.
This is locker room talk, man. Locker room talk.
Oh, no. God forbid.
I know.
Oh, we got to get jumping.
Yeah. I got to get over to college. I got to be there shortly by 10.
FLCC? Somewhere.
Yeah.
You teaching today?
I'm not teaching. I'm tutoring. So,
tutoring.
Yeah, okay. I have a student that I help with his accounting.
Okay.
So I get over there to help him figure out all that math and formulas and all that good stuff.
All right. Let me change quickly.
Quickly.
Breakfast, Sunday. I'm going to make some announcements, too. So it's going to be a light show. I'm not going to get too heavy with the Federalist and Anti-Federalist because I have to do my homework.
I couldn't find the judge's email. To invite him on the show.
Judge Dorn?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll have to figure that out. I got this email from him right here.
I'd like to get Judge Harvey. I ran into him about a month ago over at Tops. I gave him my name and number, and I said he said he'd love to come on the show. Now, he's retired.
Oh, perfect.
So he would be a little bit more...
flexible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Flexible is a good word. Yeah. And I think he'd be great. He has a good personality.
What was he presiding over?
Here in the city of Canandaigua,
oh, perfect.
I'm not sure what the actual, a lot of criminal stuff he was saying, you know, so.
I'm going to say it's not Canandaigua City Court. I think he was Ontario County, wasn't he?
Yeah, it might be what these people are running for.
That's what I think, Ontario County.
Yeah, the people that we've had on the show, they might be running for that spot.
Right.
But he retired some years ago, though, I think, Judge Harvey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's been retired for some time.
Yeah.
But who's retiring? Judge Aronson? Is that who's retiring?
Or Coker.
It might be Coker.
I think it's Aronson, but I think Coker's not far off.
Yeah, I think it's, what, age 70?
Yeah.
You
70.
Have to
right.
step aside.
Mandatory retirement.
Yeah.
Don't you love it when people tell you got to retire?
I wish someone would.
Yeah.
Tim,
you
sure
have to retire.
I have no shot at that ever, so.
Hey, I don't know if you heard, there was a hardware store in Geneva, been around for 80-some years, that's closing up shop.
Selling off their shelves and stuff?
Yeah, selling off their inventory.
In Geneva, huh?
F.A. Church is the name of the hardware store. And, you know, they can't compete against the big boxes anymore. But it's like a business that's passed from father to son for 80 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, as a business owner, you understand how difficult it is to keep a business going for that long a period of time.
What's making them close up shop?
Well, not able to compete against the big box stores. And I mean, they've done it for many years, but...
They did it even longer than Chase Pickens and a lot of those guys.
Right.
Ace Hardware is got to be like a franchise.
It is.
And they're hanging in there.
Yeah.
I mean, probably because of the way they do it. I mean, I don't consider them small, but they are kind of hometown.
It's a neighborhood hardware store.
I think they are kind of small. I mean, they're like a mom-and-pop operation, but they're mom-and-pops who all get together and purchase together.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what kind of helps them survive. Because they do have bulk purchasing powers.
I didn't even realize that we all have green on now. This was totally by accident. I didn't...
Phenol, I have
well,
green
I'm glad to see that by accident you... Irish.
I dressed.
I'm very Irish.
Your pockets are untucked.
You're so critical today. These sticks, you don't have to walk with them.
They weren't poking right in the eye. They work both ways.
I always thought I'd use a golf club when the time comes. I need that support. I'm just going to use an old golf club.
That's what I sell over there. Yeah. I sell golf club canes.
Yeah, these are too fancy.
I sell golf club canes.
Yep. And I think it's pretty legal to walk around like that and just, you know.
If you're not on the back nine.
Yeah.
You just can't.
But the putter makes the best
like
cane.
Charlie Chaplin. You can't do the twirling.
Yeah.
Not the sand.
You know what, Tim?
You could. You could use a sandwich.
Can we start? I got to go to work.
All right, you ready?
Well, I was going to say, we should have done like a little float or get like a car. We should have been in the St. Patty's Day parade.
Where?
Rochester.
Ratata.
Just saying
just
it.
A thought for
it doesn't sound good, yeah.
Well, I mean, do you understand the amount of work involved?
No, she doesn't.
It's called getting a nice car and going like this. Hello.
That's what everybody. I had this big argument on the Vietnam Vets Facebook page.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is going to make the parade all about his ego. And I'm like, it's a parade for the military. What do you think Trump's going to do? He's going to sit in a stand somewhere, with him and his wife and Barron Trump, and they're going to go like this. But it's all about his ego. He's not going to get in a tank. He's not going to put on a helmet. He's
like
not
going to
carry a machine gun and go down Main Street on Broadway in New York City and, you know, and go, Trump. He's just going to stand there and go, hi, Marines. Hello, Navy.
He's not going to salute.
No,
Air Force.
Oh, yeah,
he might salute. He has that right. He's the
commander-in-chief.
Well, I would think.
I would think
that would be the proper.
So the point is, the left want to make it all about his ego when really nobody has given the Afghan, Iraq, Somalia, Bosnia veterans a parade. And as much as everybody complained that there was no parade for the Vietnam vets, why is nobody, after 10 years of war, giving these guys a parade? And it's okay if you can hold to the point that there's the war hasn't come to a conclusion.
You're right.
But we could give our veterans a parade. There hasn't been one since 91. And everybody says we skipped the Vietnam one. So
did we have one for the Korean War?
Probably. I haven't looked it up. You know we had one for the World War II guys.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe we didn't. Maybe those guys got skipped, too.
Okay.
Well, all right, you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Warm up.
Top of the morning to you. This is Corporal Tim Thornton, and this is the Irish Day of the Week, St. Patty's Day, with me own Mike Yager. And, of course,
Aaron.
Aaron. Aaron McMacanetti.
McMarinetti.
Militia O'Walker. And this is 1310 WOKR. Three men and a microphone, but it's not. It's really Civil War Radio. How are you, sir?
Wonderful, wonderful. I can't do the Irish thing all day because I'll mess up. So I'm going to... Good morning, everybody.
Top of the morning
Top
to you.
Top of the morning to you.
Today, everyone's Irish.
That's right. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Let me finish my beer. Hang on.
Oh, there's a little bit of...
Irish?
Oh, there's a little bit of Irish in my coffee.
Oh, I should have brought some. I've got some... I bought some cigars... online, only because they're from Ireland.
You don't have to fill
them. All right, I'm sorry.
Oh, they're Irish cigars.
I didn't know the Irish made cigars, but they're called Alta, A-L-T-A, Grazia, G-R-A-C-I-A, which doesn't...
Are they also Italian?
Probably. I mean, at one time, I guess the Romans did occupy part of what's known as Ireland, so there could be some connection there. There's probably some families that are
Romans,
still...
Romans, we could be part Italian.
Yeah, Irish, Roman.
The Moors, I could be part Black. It could happen.
But these little cigars, I'll bring some by. I forgot them today, but they're... I had a choice. I got Irish cream cigar, as well as Irish whiskey.
Oh.
Cigar. So, yeah, I'm Irish
today.
Should
they soak them in this? Or
I think the leaves.
Just add some flavoring to it?
Yeah,
or
I think the leaves might have a little bit of that added to it to give it an aftertaste.
It's, either, it's real either strong. A little bit soaked or it's spritzed on.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you store it in a cedar container for a little while and keep them rolled.
Okay.
Yeah. We've dabbled in making our own flavored cigars.
Really?
Yeah, and Tim and I, we've realized, too, when you get down towards the... where the heat of the and the taste of the cigar is getting closer to you.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not a bad idea to dip the part that you put in your mouth. We do that in something that's a little bit more adult beverage-like, like a brandy or a whiskey, just to kind of act like a filter. Instead of having a paper filter, we use a liquid filter.
Yep. You take your little glass of scotch,
mm-hmm.
you're smoking your cigar,
mm-hmm.
you dip the mouth end into your scotch, put it in your mouth, and that scotch trickles down the back of your throat while you're smoking on a perfectly aged cigar. Let me tell you, if you can't relax after that, you really got a lot more problems than you should. Because that is very relaxing. And it's not the point of getting drunk. It's just to the point of...
the taste.
The taste and the relaxation that the...
Right.
You know, the whole... what's that? You know, you get the...
Ambiance? No, I don't know what it's called.
A dopamine release in a serotonin world.
Oh.
How do you like
look
that?
Look those words
dopamine
up.
Dopamine release in a serotonin world.
Took me a second, but I got it.
Wow.
I know I'm pretty good.
Now, see, if I knew anything about drugs, I might understand.
You should be on
that's human nature. Your cigarettes do the same thing. If you smoke a cigarette...
Oh, yeah.
Right?
You should be on the radio.
Because I have a voice for radio.
Melissa says so does sex. So.
Oh, geez.
What did you say?
All right, so Civil War Radio. I'm going to bring this back, guy.
Okay,
rain it
Civil
in.
War
Come on.
Radio.
I heard cul-de-sac.
Cul-de-sac.
And Mike turned it into sex.
Yeah.
What?
Back to business now. All right, Civil War Radio.
Civil War Radio.
We know what that is, right? Okay, we're going to be adults here and discuss things civilized. We're going to be civilized, mature, all that. Now, we finished up the U.S. Constitution, Articles 1 through 7, 8, whatever it was. I don't have my copy with me, so I'm lost. And we did the Bill of Rights. So I thought, if it's okay with you guys, that today's show is just going to be a little bit of like looking forward. What do we want to do? And the gentleman there from Reed Robbins from the Ontario County Conservative Party made a real good suggestion. He said, you know, maybe we should talk about the Federalist and the Anti-Federalist Papers. Because where we are right now is that the Constitution has been signed by the delegates that were at the convention. And that would be September 17th, 1787. Okay. But it's nothing yet but a piece of paper with words on it because it hasn't been ratified. Remember we talked about amendments have to be ratified. The U.S. Constitution has to be ratified, which meant that 9 out of the 13 original states had to sign on. They had to put it through their lawmaking body, their legislature, and they had to approve the U.S. Constitution, because I remind people all the time, our federal government was created by those 13 individual states, not the other way around. And sadly, I think, this is my personal opinion, that we've almost become an occupied land. And the occupier is our federal government. Now, that's a little bit of a stretch, but for fun, sometimes I think that way. Just, you know, worst case scenario.
It sounds like fun. Yeah. Why did you stretch my brain?
Yeah, you know, just making sure I'm still thinking. So what I like to do with your approval is over the next course of several weeks, talk about the debate between the Federalists. These were the founding fathers that were in support of a federal government, a strong constitution, versus the anti-federalists, which, doing a little bit of research, I found out that a big body of them were from New York and Virginia, because those were the two most populated and prosperous states at that time, New York and Virginia. So they had a battle going on in the newspapers, in the pubs, in the taverns, in the salons. Now, do you know what I mean when I say salon?
Yes. Oh, you're not talking hair salon.
No.
For men's little extracurricular activities.
Well, I don't know if they got into anything physical, but it was definitely a place for them to go drink and talk about the topics of the day. And sometimes out of those salons came policy. So it might be similar to what we know as the smoke-filled rooms that we hear so much about in Albany, where you get three men in a room and they smoke cigars and talk about how they're going to cure the ails of New York State and the rest of the world.
And look how well that's been going.
aren't we doing well? So that's what I'm hoping to do, and then take a timeline and just kind of walk through history, how this whole process came about. So they didn't have internet. They didn't have radio. They didn't have telephone. So this is the way they communicated, through face-to-face or newspaper. Okay? That was it. So I'm hoping that maybe we can just get a sense for how this went. There were people on both sides, and it took almost 2 years, from September 17th, 1787, to the final ratification, I believe, was in 1789. So what do you think? You want to do that?
Yeah, no, I'm very curious about the whole Federalist. I'm actually more curious about the anti-Federalist.
You don't hear much about them.
I think, anyways. You know, because maybe we messed up. Not knowing the other argument, maybe that we should have gone with the Federalist, right?
As opposed to the
Constitution.
Well, or the anti-Federalist, which wanted more of a confederation. A confederation is more like the states are even more independent, but they still get together for big issues like defending the border.
So the anti-federalists are the argument against the Constitution.
Yes, correct. They thought the Constitution would lead to something like the King of England already had. It would be a government. Remember the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson?
Yes.
He has one famous scene when he's arguing in their local lawmaking chamber, and he says that, why would I trade one tyrant 3,000 miles away for 3,000 tyrants right here at home? Now think about that statement for a second. And that's what the anti-federalists were afraid of. They were afraid that this new federal government would end up just like the kingdom.
A tyrant, like the King of England.
Yes.
Right.
So that's what I'm hoping that we can explore. And I'm going to try to keep it as light as possible. You know, this is serious stuff. These people, they were talking life and death. Okay, so this is serious stuff. But if it's okay with you guys, just to help us remember who's who, I think what I want to do is refer to the Federalists, since most of them were from a lot of metropolitan areas of the day, such as Boston, the city of New York, the city of Philadelphia. What if we refer to them like as the Boston Patriots? Remember the old-fashioned Boston Patriots before they became the New England Patriots? You probably do, Mike. Right?
Right? I do.
Yeah, so the Boston Patriots, that's kind of like the Federalists. They want the strong Constitution. And the other guys, I was trying to come up with an interesting name for them, but what if we call them like the Southern Eagles? Even though they weren't all from the South, maybe they were from the southern part of New York right on down to the Carolinas. But now you got the Patriots and the Eagles fighting it out again.
Southern Eagles?
Yeah. We can come up with a better name if you want. You know, Continental Eagles.
Well, this is going to be interesting. The Patriots versus the Eagles.
Yeah.
Let's see how this plays out.
Continental Eagles.
Continental, like that
There's
one?
There's no sense in putting the whole slavery Southern thing on them.
All right. We got the Boston Patriots versus the Country Eagles. I don't know. Country.
Continentals.
Is that too long? Continental? Let's go with that. We'll see how it goes. Okay? So we'll use history timeline to kind of track these debates back and forth. And a lot of these guys, when they wrote, they used aliases. So we're going to hear a lot of Greek and Roman names, such as Cato is one name. I saw one, Z. There was an article written by just the letter Z. And I looked up, who is Z? I haven't found it yet. So if you guys and our listeners can find out who Z was, who wrote one of the first Federalist Papers back in May of 1787, before the convention even ended.
He went by the name Z?
Z. Right. That's capital it? Letter Z. Right. That was it. Right. I have no clue who Z is.
Right. So this was a very common practice back in the day, that mm-hmm. you didn't sign your own name to whatever you wrote. You signed some fake name, fictitious name, mm-hmm. or some name from history.
This is proof of zombies.
Proof of zombies.
Oh, they've been around forever.
Yeah.
We even saw that with the building of the Erie Canal. Jesse Hawley was imprisoned here in Canandaigua, and he wrote a series of articles in the newspaper laying out how a canal could be built across the state of New York.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a prisoner. Who's going to listen to a prisoner in jail, right? Mm-hmm. So he didn't sign his own name. He signed the name Hercules.
There you go.
Hercules
sounds
was
strong.
The one who wrote the article. Well, it was a Herculean task to build a canal from Albany to Buffalo.
Yeah. Whatever works, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking. I'm hoping that maybe we can have some fun with it, and I hope we can tie it into what's going on today, because there are some historians that believe that these two factions, the Federalist and the Anti-Federalist, kind of evolved into what we know as Democrats and Republicans today. Now, they may have had different names throughout history. One of my favorite is the one that Thomas Jefferson used when he ran. He was under the Democratic Republican group.
Democratic.
So he had it covered. Yeah, he had it covered. So I was happy about that. So should I just keep on going?
Just keep on going.
Just keep on going. All right. So let's go back to.
So we also had, like, for a period of time, the Whigs.
Yeah, the Whigs. Yep, yep.
And then
yep.
we also had a Bull Moose Party.
Yep, which was a offshoot of the Republican Party.
That's right.
And that was led by a New Yorker.
Yeah.
Do you remember who?
Was that none other than our Teddy Roosevelt?
That was him.
Okay.
Yep, T.R., Teddy Roosevelt. He kind of got forgotten, I guess, by the Republican Party of his day. So he was
kind of an outsider in the Republican Party.
Yes.
Not unlike somebody else we might think of.
Yeah. Somebody, see how things go around and around?
Right. How history repeats itself, right?
This history thing is kind of like when you you got a tub full of water and you pull the drain plug and the water just starts circling around the drain until it goes on down. So for today, I got to be honest with you, I am not really prepared because I found a source.
Well, sure you are.
Okay. Thank you.
Look at all the material you brought.
Yeah, I brought material, but I found a source that you guys can look at online. Let me make sure I get it. This is one word, okay? It's three words that are no spaces, all put together. So if you guys find this source, it's called teachingamericanhistory.org. Then you can do /fed, F-E-D, hyphen, anti-fed. And they have historic documents of all the publications of that time period for this debate that probably most of us know little to nothing about.
Okay. So now we have these two teams, right? The Patriots and the Eagles.
Yep.
Okay. Each team needs to have a quarterback.
Ah.
Right?
Yep.
So
offense and defense, you're right.
Who's our quarterback for these teams?
All right, I'll name some of the popular names that we'll recognize, and then there's going to be more coming in and out that aren't as familiar to us.
Right.
Maybe down south more, some of these names like George Mason, you might recognize that name.
As in the Mason-Dixon line,
yes,
right?
Yes, Eldridge Gerry, G-E-R-R-Y, like in gerrymandering.
Right.
Right. So the big names for the Patriots, which are the Federalists, would be Alexander Hamilton.
Right.
He's a big name. And James Madison. Those are the two big names that we would recognize. As far as the Eagles go, the anti-Federalists, you might recognize Thomas Jefferson and Patrick Henry.
There you go.
Patrick Henry is the guy who is well known for give me liberty or give me death.
That's right.
Yep. So
yeah, he should be the quarterback.
Quarterback?
Patrick Henry for the Continental Eagles.
And then maybe Jefferson could be the coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
And have Henry as – and then go back to the Patriots. We could make Madison like the coach.
Okay. Now, here's the thing.
Who was the quarterback?
Who was the second guy I said for the – Alexander Hamilton.
Oh, Hamilton.
Well, we'll make him a quarterback.
Right. Okay. So here's the thing. I want to know which team does Ben Franklin play for?
Well, see, Ben.
France.
Yeah. Ben is an interesting character.
He certainly is.
He was the oldest. He was the oldest of the group, right?
Right.
And probably the wisest.
Well, some think.
So I think he was wise enough to sit back. And probably like the gambler who doesn't really take sides, but will put money on who he thinks is going to win this game, right? And then money on the next game. You know, he might not stick with, I'm not a Patriots fan, I'm not an Eagles fan, I'm going with who I think is going to win.
Right.
I think he was wise enough to play both sides to get what he wanted.
Okay.
That's my take on Ben Franklin.
So he played the role of the mediator.
He was kind of like Jimmy the Greek.
Okay.
Jimmy the Greek.
You old people remember Jimmy the Greek. He was the guy who said...
You old people. Yeah. Don't you feel...
Yes. Us old people. So there's a source that I would like you guys to explore.
We'll do our research.
Yeah, and...
I have a thing about Z.
Yeah, did you find something?
A little bit. I bet you Z was one of those confusing names. Like a German name that just was too hard to pronounce, or maybe Slavic or something.
Okay.
So they just called him Z.
Okay.
I'm looking on the internet, but it's hard. It really is not addressed very well.
Mm-mm. I went to the website that I just mentioned there, that teachingamericanhistory.org, and then they have their little search field, and I put in, who is Z? Didn't get an answer. So maybe he's totally unknown. And I didn't want feel like bringing my computer in. Next show.
Okay. If he's truly unknown, you would think there's got to be a lot of history students who are out there who are saying to themselves, you know, I'll bet based on what he wrote, I can determine who this person Z is.
Call in. Let us know. You know, if
you call Harvard up.
Any suggestions? I'm going to keep searching. Maybe I'll even search like a library. Those are those buildings with books.
Are you saying to call Hobbit?
They were just some place that the pervs went to get on the internet. So they can't be traced.
Yeah,
library.
I know nothing about that.
I'd say that Z was probably Samuel Adams because because he was always drunk off his butt.
Yeah, and you know, he was Sam Adams and John Adams, I believe, were cousins. Mm-hmm. Okay,
right.
They were not brothers, but they were cousins. And what I know about Sam Adams is that he was a rabble rouser. All right, he was the type of guy that wanted to get it done. John Adams was a lawyer, so he was very good at talking, but he had a temper too. So often, John Adams' temper would make him insult people and berate people. Sam Adams' temper would bring him out to the streets, and they would do stuff that, like, tar and feather people. Which
wasn't
can...
Sam Adams the one that did all the dueling? Didn't I remember I made that comment once?
Aaron Burr, I know of. I'm not sure right. about Sam Adams. He did a lot of street fighting. I don't know about dueling.
There was something like remember I said once that I go, we were talking about the Constitution, and I said, if you want to talk about someone who got offended all the time, I think it was Sam Adams, and he's known for like 19 duels or something like that.
I didn't know that.
I don't know. I got to look that up again.
Yeah. All right. So we all have some homework to do, but for fun, anybody here ever hear of the TV series Turn? On cable, what was it, on AMC.
Yep.
If you get a chance, look that up. It's on demand. But Turn is a story about George Washington spies that were from Long Island. Most of them were from Long Island, but they've made friends and connections throughout New England as well as down to Philadelphia. But this was during the War for Independence, the Revolutionary War. So that's a good way to modernize American history and something that's popular today. And another HBO series that you can get on CD is about John Adams with Paul Giamatti playing John Adams, and he does an excellent job. So you can see that John Adams was a loving father, but a cantankerous politician.
Okay.
And kind of like us.
Us?
Yeah, kind of like us.
You lump us all in together. Thank you.
A little cantankerous at times. Thankfully, nobody saw the warm-up.
Right.
Yeah,
thankfully nobody
saw. You guys
was
don't know what you're missing. Yeah, I don't think
I've been using that word penumbra a lot lately.
Penumbra.
Yeah, remember that from last show? Yeah, that's a cool word. There's a lot of these words. So I don't really have anything of great detail today. Now, if you want to try to fast forward and bring some of our topic up to today.
Let's do that.
You want to do that? All right.
Yeah.
I'll just take a minute. I live here in the Canandaigua City School District realm, and I get their Digest, which is a publication that they put out regularly. This is volume number 56, issue number 2, dated March 2018. So it just came Wednesday.
Hot off the press.
Hot off the presses. And something caught my eye. And since we have Melissa here, that you can actually see, and I'll try to describe it for our listeners. This article is titled, it's under the section Teaching and Learning, and it's titled How... Not what. So I'm going to summarize it. I've only read it once, and I got to be honest with you, I didn't take it all in. I didn't digest the digest fully.
Okay.
So I have to do this again. But the big picture is that our schools want to teach our students how to think for themselves, which is what I like, as opposed to what to think. That's why the title is How, Not What. How to think, not what to think. And if you follow current events, we just had something this past Wednesday. That,
what did we have?
There was a walkout.
An organized walkout.
Organized walkout.
Oh, they did it right here in Canandaigua.
Did they?
Well,
did,
all the schools had it.
It was national.
Right. Was it? Okay.
Right.
I didn't realize they did it in Canandaigua.
They did it
okay.
in Canandaigua. They
all
said
right.
about half the students participated.
Okay.
Which I thought was kind of interesting.
Wasn't it
yeah.
not called a walkout? It was called something else?
No, it was actually called a walkout.
Yeah, I think it was.
Right.
Yeah.
But what was interesting about Canandaigua is in many of the places where they talked about the walkout, they talked about the walkout was against school violence or the walkout for gun control,
okay,
things of this nature.
Okay.
In Canandaigua, what they said was a walkout in remembrance of the students who lost their lives.
Okay.
And I thought that's where the focus really should have been.
I agree. I agree with that.
You know, and I was glad to see that. I really was.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a better approach. Mm-hmm. I did hear an interesting thought, which I tend to agree with. It goes like this, is that too often we focus on making noise, and that would be taking our argument to the streets,
mm-hmm,
and doing a protest, which we have a right to do,
right,
according to our First Amendment,
right,
in the Constitution, where maybe it would be more beneficial if we do a debate, we talk it, and have those type of formats and events as opposed to just people yelling in a street.
So you're talking having like a civil war.
Yeah. Yeah, like, wow, what we try to do here. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
So, and I think that's a better approach, and there has to be, like with any game, like with the Patriots and the Eagles, there has to be rules. And if there's a violation of the rules, there has to be consequences. So, sadly, freedom doesn't mean that we just do whatever we want and get away with it. I believe freedom, and I mentioned this to the gentleman from Scope last week, I believe freedom means that you know right from wrong and you live your life accordingly, which brings you peace.
Well said.
Yeah. So that's my interpretation of freedom.
Folks, look at the wisdom that gets shared on this program.
Oh,
I'm telling
you,
we're so blessed to have people like Armand on this show.
Thank you. I don't know I don't know if it's wisdom or wisecracking, but there's...
Oh, no, there's definite wisdom. Nuggets of wisdom contained.
So anyways, going back to this, if you get a chance, read it. I'm going to read it over again, and what I liked about it is that there were a couple mentions of not only teaching our students how to think, not what to think, but they actually put in here a blurb, not a blurb, the actual words for the First, the Second, the Ninth, and Tenth Amendment off in that little box there. And they talked about the participation in government class that they offer to the students. So those type of classes give students a chance to influence policymaking. And that's what politics is, policymaking. When we discuss these debates between the Federalist Patriots and the Anti-Federalist Eagles, we're going to realize that their big, big concern was good government. And some of the quotes that we're going to see, you could put them right on today's newspaper and say, wow, 240 years ago, it wasn't really that different.
Yeah.
They had the same arguments. People still... I almost said a bad word. I caught myself.
People still
fill in the blank. Use at the, each other.
Use the Irish word of shite. That's what I like to use. Arse. Anything like that.
You're out of shite. All right, that's it. I'm done. Civil War Radio is done. We can move on if you wish.
Did you have any comments on John Jay?
John Jay,
and
I have
who
to.
He was.
I have to brush the dust off the what do you call it? The nooks and crannies,
uh-huh,
of the cranium. Is that
nooks and
did I make that word up?
Cranium.
Sometimes
no,
I.
No,
who is the comedian that Norm Crosby used to make the words up? Cosby, Norm Crosby. Remember the guy who used to make the words up? I'll bring some stuff in from him, because every now and then, if you ever get YouTube Norm Crosby, yeah, he makes words up. You know, I have a tendency to do that every now and then.
Oh, I can mispronounce a lot of words. So
John Jay.
Well, his name comes up, but I can't even find the Z guy.
He wrote, and I don't know. See, that'd be a good homework assignment. Was he a Federalist Patriot, or was he an Anti-Federalist Eagle? Tim's looking right now.
Yeah, I had it on the internet, but I'm still a little confused on...
I'll have to, again,
okay,
get out
so
my history books.
Our homework assignment for next week is to do our research for the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists.
Yep.
And put together our playbook.
Yep.
Right? And look at the players on the team.
Yep.
And we'll see how things shake out in this game where one team goes against the other.
And, you know, like every football season, there's a time period, right?
There certainly is.
So for this beginning of the season, since the U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights was released.
But not yet ratified.
Correct. In September, why don't we just go, like, this is the first part of the season, the preseason. We'll go from September.
The preseason.
To January 1788 as our time period to work with for the next show.
Okay.
What do you think?
I like that.
So we're talking about September of 1787 to January of 1788. What's nice about that website, they do have a timeline.
Oh,
which
fantastic.
I enjoy timelines because it gives me a visual perspective. So when I was teaching global history, I found a great website called Hyper History. And it's got a huge timeline for the entire human history.
Wow.
And you can click on a lot of the years, and it gives you a little blurb. It's real quick, and it's not very in-depth, but it gives you the highlights of what was going on. So it's called Hyper History. It's a good website to use for the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Very interesting.
Good enough?
So,
yeah.
Civil War Radio with Armin Marinetti and, of course, our co-host Mike Yarger and our videographer and sometimes commentator not too far from the mic, Melissa Walker. And myself, Corporal Tim Thornton, and thank you, and we'll be right back with these messages. Or, no.
We'll be right back after the messages.
With these messages.
There you go.
What did you put in that coffee?
And coming up, we have our Irish interview with, I believe, Mr. Michael Murphy, and he's with the...
You couldn't find a more Irish name than Michael Murphy.
I think he was obligated to join no matter what. But he's going to talk to us about Irish culture in our area, Rochester, New York.
Great.
Which one? Where is he? Is he here?
No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Come all you gallant heroes, along with me combined. I'll sing a song, it won't take long, of the fight in 69.
Welcome back to Three Men and a Mic, and this is Corporal Tim Thornton. I'm here with Michael
McCarthy.
McCarthy from the Irish American Cultural Institute, Rochester, New York chapter, and we're going to talk about Irish culture today. I'm here with Michael Yarger, who's a Boston Catholic.
My mother's Irish. From South Boston, that's correct.
Melissa Walker, I don't know if that's Irish or not.
It's very.
Very Irish.
I'm from the McGregor clan from Scotland, but because they were like the...
Mac Irish.
We moved over to Ireland.
And right. And she's got the authentic red hair, she has the green eyes, she has the freckles. You couldn't get much more Irish than Melissa.
There you go. And I have an Irish background, too. My grandfather was an immigrant. And our other resident immigrant.
Our Italian.
Hello.
Is also
Armin McMarinetti. So, Mike, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me here. I appreciate
it. Welcome to the show. Oh, I got to match your beautiful hat. I see you like the Irish patch hat.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And that was my favorite hat because you can get them. This one, probably the cheaper version, just comes in a plain color. But this one, I had to import from Ireland and wait a year.
A year.
And when my wife found out that I gave them a $50 deposit and they said, well, come back in a year. I just met my wife and she looked at me like, what is wrong with you? So she went back in, got the deposit back, and said, you can call us in a year. We're not going to give you money for a year. And they did call us, which was hilarious. But I'd love to have little bits of Irish with me. And I want you to talk. So, but I will show you my, we showed it earlier on film, but not on the radio, Just given to me yesterday, a little Irish penny.
Oh, my. It's got to be worth something.
Well, it's cool.
Because yeah, they're now on the Euro system.
Oh.
Right. So yeah. They don't make the Irish pennies anymore.
My bookie gives me some of the coolest gifts.
1971. Very nice.
It's got a little harp on one side mm-hmm. and probably got a crown on the other. I can't see it very well.
I doubt if it's a crown.
Yeah. Oh, right. Doubt if it's a crown. So, tell us all about yourself and the culture.
Well, I am the current president of the Irish American Cultural Institute in Rochester, and we support the cultural aspect of Irish heritage through literature, through dance, through song, through films, and so we do those kinds of programming throughout the year. And it's open to the public, whoever wants to come. And so we do a lot of different things and various things within the culture side of it to promote the culture, promote the heritage, promote the history. We do history-type classes with that. So we're one of the more active chapters throughout the country.
That's great. I mean, you have a. Does your classes or your institute actually have anybody that teaches Gaelic, which is a super hard language to learn?
It is a hard language, and I don't think I can say one or two words in Gaelic. But we have on occasion offered Gaelic classes. I know there are instructors around town, but we're not connected with them as part of a ongoing program for that. But they are around.
My dog knows how to fetch in Gaelic. And ironically, and not, it's not a pun or anything else, but I looked it up and I could pronounce it because you can do that on Google. Beer. Beer means fetch.
Beer.
Well, not beer. Like you throw a little A in there, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's, of all words, I was like, you know, I really wish it was any other word than that or the sound of it. But I try to teach all my dogs in different languages. So one has commands in German, one's in Korean, and I'm trying my best to make the third dog Gaelic.
Well, yeah, that's good a good luck. Word to work with.
Is the third dog an Irish setter?
The third dog is Mac, and Mac, after the World War I Marine Corps guys, and he's a red poodle, mini poodle.
Okay.
Yeah. That doesn't have to be Irish.
Descent. No. But the Irish take in a lot of
we've been
mixed nationalities. Right. Yes, yeah, we do. So,
so more about your organization. You're a 501(c)(3),
mm-hmm.
and that's nice. And I think you want to bring the good side of the Irish. Boy, I said that wrong. You want to make an emphasis on the side of the Irish. Americans that doesn't go to the negative derogatory side.
That's right. And I mean, that's certainly our, excuse me, our focus is that to stay away from what I call the paddywhack side of the Irish, which people associate with drinking and more commonly, to my chagrin, the excessive drinking. And you know, that gets associated with St. Patrick's Day, which is coming up in this weekend. And we try to show the other pieces of that Irish heritage and emphasize that. You know, this weekend we do have the St. Patrick's Day parade. And so that's going to be a big event, as it always is in Rochester. And the Irish American Cultural Institute's going to have a pronounced
presence
with the parade. I am the Grand Marshal of the parade this year.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
So I'll be leading it off, and I'll be leading it off with our association, the Irish American Cultural Institute. So we will have that exposure with the parade coming up.
Will you wear anything that's cultural?
We'll have a banner, you know, announcing our chapter. But As far as a kilt or anything like that, no, I won't be dressed as such, but certainly have the green end with our emblem, and so we'll be showing that off as well. So we are a family-oriented group, and what we hope to attract is anywhere from the elderly, which, you know, we do have a lot of folks that, of the older group that come to our events, right on down to the kids. And, you know, the parade is going to be, you know, it has a lot of kid-oriented things going on in it, and so we want to emphasize that too. So it spans the whole family rather than just an adult or an older adult group.
Now, yeah. Before we go on, because Armin's got to leave, I got to get Armin to come over to the mic. I got to ask you this question, because just because I want Armin to be in, so I'm going to interject this. Excuse me. So, growing up young, and I was in the Marine Corps, I used to travel and hang out with an Irishman named Corliss, and he was from Ireland. He joined the Corps, and his brother joined the French Foreign Legion, so they could both gain knowledge, they said, whatever. And so Corliss would sit around and tell this Irish what do they call it? A riddle. So it goes like this. And I want you to take notice to these. We'll pretend these are hobnailed boots. They're close to hobnailed boots, but not exactly. Melissa, show the underneath. See how they're horseshoed? But true hobnailed boots would actually have these little, almost like that pot. See the decorations on the top of the pot? They'd have these little, like, clovers-ish things that would stick out so you could obviously walk on the roof. So I'm giving away part of the riddle, but so here goes, and I'm going to do it on my little brogue thing. So how far can a snail travel uphill carrying a book of the tar? Oh, how far can a snail travel wearing hobnailed boots and carrying a book of the tar? And he would leave you like this, so you had to come up, and people would bet money and everything. Any idea?
No idea.
Armin?
No clue.
How far can a snail travel uphill wearing hobnailed boots, carrying a book of the tar?
No clue.
Well, that leaves the question, but those are basically hobnailed boots. They're actually British ammo boots, but they're close. And to the question, what's a book of the tar then?
Yeah, what is it?
That would help you figure it out.
Yes.
Well, if the hobnail boots are for a roof,
the book of the tar,
I would think would be like a bucket of tar.
No, a book of the tar.
Okay.
So it's like tar paper.
Oh, tar paper.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's really not. It's funny thing is, I don't think the answer was ever how far, even though that's what he would say,
right,
which is just total trickery. But really, what am I? Still
so
nothing?
You're a roofer?
I think that's the answer, but he would never let us in.
Oh.
We never really knew.
Oh.
So
you give us a riddle and you don't give us the answer. Thank you very much.
Well, I've had to figure out it for 30 years.
Yeah. Something to think about.
No, I'm still lost. Sorry. I'm stumped.
I was hoping you would guess because it was how far.
How far. Yeah. Well, no clue. I went to school with the Duffys and the McGoldricks, and my wrestling and football coach was a Quinn, and I never heard that one before. So,
yeah, that's...
sorry.
That night, and I got to say, he had a pickup line. Stay tuned. When we come back from this commercial break, we'll be back with the Irish American culture from Rochester, New York, with Mr. Michael McCarthy. And we'll find out what old Corliss used to say to the ladies.